In our study so far in Hebrews, we have been amazed, almost overwhelmed by the beauty of who Jesus Christ is. The richness of the theology of Hebrews encourages us, it challenges us, and it warns us. We've been encouraged because we've been reminded that we have a high priest who is our Lord Jesus Christ, who even now on an ongoing basis is that big word, remember, propitiation, an ongoing ministry in the tabernacle of heaven, connected to the tabernacle, the living tabernacle of his church, bringing a gift of protection, of healing, of forgiveness, of having taken and washed away our sins, but a continual protection over his people. We've seen that. We've seen that he was born, begotten, the Son of God, and that the angels, in fact, were called to worship him because he is superior to the angels. He is God with us. We've seen that. We've seen also that we are being warned, and the Hebrews were being warned, because as the pressure built on them, as people began to try and break them down and break their faith down, many of them were starting to fall away. Some were starting to drift away from the anchor of the truth. And last week we read those words in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3. Hold on to what Christ has shared with us and to what we have. And don't allow our hearts to become hardened, and let the evil of sin and temptation break us down. And so in the middle of all of this challenge, of this beautiful revelation of who our high priest is, in the middle of this great theology, strengthening the church at a time of great persecution, there are two verses that are given to us right out of Hebrews chapter 3. The first one is verse 12. It's a warning. Look at it with me quickly. Chapter 3, verse 12 starts with the word, beware, brethren. Now, that's a strong word, beware. It's another warning. There's warning after warning after warning to God's people. Be careful. Be alert. Be aware. And now, beware. Beware. You know, in my home, in my home area in Zimbabwe, there would be large gardens, and obviously every now and then people would trespass into the garden, sometimes cutting across, sometimes if they were looking, especially, you know, if there was poverty around, people would jump over the fences and sort of see if there was something they could pick up and take away. And that, people just knew that. And so signs are put up. So if you go to Zimbabwe today, to where people live and they have big gardens and big walls, you'll find signs on the gate saying, beware of the dog. In our language, it's Basupa lo Inja, be careful of the dog. And there's always a picture of a dog with vicious teeth. And I think if you look over the fence, you'll find a little poodle. But the idea on the gate is, don't come in here, stay away. And it's a bit, some of those who are more creative put a picture of a cobra or a mamba, and they say, Basupa lo Nyaka, which is, be careful of the snakes that are in this garden. Don't come in here. Stay away. Beware. Beware. Well, in a way, God is saying, beware. He's putting a sign. But what is it that we are to be aware of? What are we to beware of? What are we to be concerned about? And he says it very quickly. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. David put it this way. He said, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and cleanse me from any sin, that I might be free to worship you. So you see, we all have fallen short. We all struggle. We all struggle with sin. But this is another level. It's talking about something evil that is it's all to be careful, all to be deeply concerned about. But what is this evil heart that Paul's talking about that is affecting people? It's the evil heart of unbelief. People are starting to turn away. People are starting to turn their back on what they once heard. Beware of the evil heart of unbelief. God, let us not ever fall into the temptation of unbelief, of believing that for a moment you cannot hear our prayers, of believing for a moment that you cannot make a way when we need you to make a way, believing for a moment that you can overcome the struggles that we are dealing with. If we begin to not have that faith, see, faith is what activates our whole being with Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, through faith, we have peace in with Christ. Faith is something we've got to nurture and feed. The Bible says faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We cannot, we dare not stop our daily reading of the word of God, nourishing our faith, strengthening our faith, because it says, beware of those where evil of an unbelieving heart creeps in. Oh God, not here, not in this church, not in us. And so it starts with that, but there's an incredible contrast in the next verse. And the next verse is really what I want to focus on today as we come to Mission Sunday. Verse 13 says something amazing. It's in contrast to the warning. Just look at it very quickly. It says this, but in contrast to this, what is happening, what can happen through unbelief and through a hardness and an evilness of unbelief, in contrast to that, exhort one another daily while it is called today. And I want to talk a bit about that. In fact, I remember once, when I used to be at Denver Seminary, I'd go and walk around a lake in the evening with those old headphones and a little radio. You remember those little radios with the headphones? And I'd always listen to there were two, Focus on the Family and Insight for Living. Just to detract, I was saying to Topeka the other day that her thinking of the term keeping families together could be incredibly something that could go to another level as I think of Focus on the Family and the impact for Christ that had. And it's just something about it. But next to that came Insight for Living, Charles Swindoll. And that was back in the 80s. And the pastor's still preaching. He's still Insight for Living today. An amazing man of God. And I remember him talking about this. And what he said on this verse at that time was, he said, I would like to encourage you to make this your life verse. That's why I remember it. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Make this your life verse, or one of your life verses. You know how at New Year we look for a verse and we put it up and we put out the little reminders and we put it up on our fridges, some of us, and we focus on that verse through the year and we pray about it. Church secretary, often Susan, wrestles and we agree to a verse that will take us into the new year. Well, this is another verse like that, but I with Chuck Swindoll, when he said it, want to pass that on to you to encourage you to make this that verse that you put on, as it were, your heart, the door of your heart. Because what this verse is saying is, it's saying, I want you to become an encourager, exhort one another, but it's not just once in a while. It's not just occasionally. It's today and it's daily. That's why this verse is so powerful. That's why this verse is so meaningful, because it's saying, I want you to encourage one another daily, daily. Not just once every now and then, not just say, oh, keep going, brother, keep being strong, but daily encourage one another, daily exhort one another. You see, As long as we have today, that's what the verse is saying, day by day, I want you, in the middle of the pressure that you are under, in the middle of the persecution that you are feeling, to encourage, exhort one another every single day. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Now, to do that, we've got to respond. We've got to think about how we do it. What does that look like? To me, it looks like when I'm walking on the road and I catch a bus, if I'm going up to St. George's or something, often, not always, but often, it's amazing, I'll meet someone. And one of those that I meet quite a lot, either here, I've met in the most odd places, is Ruth's mom, Pamela, who we know for years has been struggling. And wherever I meet her, whether it's on the bus, and we'll wave and we'll smile and we'll sit down and she'll talk quite loud so people around can hear. And she'll say, Pastor, you know, I've been struggling, but you know, the Lord is with me. The Lord is helping me. And Pastor, it's not easy, but God is with me. And I know He's going to be with me, and I'm going to come into church if I can on Sunday. She always says that. And then I'll be walking in Putney doing something, and there she'll be on a little scooter, and she'll wave, and she'll stop in the middle of the street, and she'll say, Pastor, that's not easy, I'm struggling. But Pastor, I'm coming to church on Sunday if I can. And sometimes she gets here, because she's struggling, she's battling. But she's always gives the Lord his due. She always shares about how God is helping her through. And she says that wherever I bump into her, if it's in, I'm trying to think of another place that I bumped into her, was in a McDonald's. And everybody in McDonald's knew by the time I'd gone past that the Lord was helping her in her struggle and that she was coming to church on Sunday. And whenever I see her, I just feel encouraged. She's just got that, right? Well, wouldn't it be great if we could all be a little bit like that? Encourage one another. When we bump into each other, stop and say, how are you doing or whatever? And hey, keep going in the faith. God strengthen you. You know, be strong. You know, an exhortation to keep going. Make it a practice. When you go out in the evening to have dinner with friends or you're meeting somebody for coffee in the cafe, meet them, but encourage them. Exhort them, even if you've got to talk about maybe business or difficult things that are going on. Make sure that they are encouraged, that you've taken time to exhort and encourage one another. Let that become a life verse. We need to encourage the discouraged. We need to strengthen the weak. And we need to give relief to those who are weary. And we can do that simply by loving them, smiling, exhorting, and encouraging them. There are not enough encouragers around. Not enough exhorters around. And Paul says, daily, day by day, encourage. Encourage one another. And now, the application is, if we are to encourage one another here in beautiful London, with all that we've got, yes, the challenges are here. They're here like anywhere. How much more should we be encouraging those on the front line of missions? How much more should we be thinking how we can write to them, how we can email them, text them every now and then? While it is today, encourage them on the mission field. Because if we need encouragement, I can tell you they need encouragement. Let that be a challenge to us out of our study in Hebrews on this Mission Sunday. Amen. Amen.